Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio on a witnessy kind of Wednesday.
Oh, Trish.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, kiddo, where are you?
Well, who goes to the mall and doesn't shop? Me.
Men.
Yeah, men and those and old people in the morning when they're doing their laps.
Yeah.
That's who. All righty, do you have somebody there to chat with?
I do. His name is David, and he calls himself an agnostic, though he says he's kind of open to all things. I'm going to walk over to him right now.
That's
he's in
good.
College studying finance, and here we are. David, you're ready to go? Okay, you're going to talk to my friend Ray.
All right. Hello.
David, thanks for coming on the program. My name's Ray. You're studying finances?
Yeah, finance.
So what are you learning about finance? Is it personal finances, how to make a lot of money, how to start a business, or what?
No, honestly, I'm not really sure yet. My father majored in finance, so DC's got a good business school, so that's just, I don't know, what I was kind of pushed towards.
That's great.
Yeah,
so I hear a rumor that you're agnostic.
Yeah,
I guess. Can you tell me what that means and why you're agnostic?
Well, I mean, I think that there could be a God. I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying there not. There could be. I just don't know enough yet. So
what would convince you that God exists? Would you want to hear a voice, see a vision, or be convinced the Bible's full of stuff that's scientific? What would put you over the edge to where you'd say, yeah, there is a God?
Maybe some type of proof or something. Like, I mean, I want to be like Christian. I do. Like, I'm trying, but.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
It's hard for me.
What is a Christian to you? What do you think a Christian is?
Just, you know, being a good person, honestly. You know, helping others out, not believing God and Jesus Christ.
Okay. Have you heard what it means to be born again? Have you heard that phrase, born again?
Yes, I have.
So what does that mean to you?
I guess when you have kind of a revelation about God and, I mean, you just realize, I guess, and go through kind of like an epiphany.
Well, that's interesting. I had an experience like that where I had a belief in God. I used to pray, but I didn't know God. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. And on the 25th of April, 1972, 1:30 in the morning, I came to know him. And it's very radical, David, when that happens to you. You're never the same. You're a brand new person.
That's what some of my friends say.
So some of your friends are Christians?
Oh, yeah, majority of them are.
Really? And what do they tell you about being a Christian? Why should you become a Christian? What do they say to you?
Well, I mean, they didn't push it on me. Like, they talk about it every now and then. We'll get, like, into...
Does anyone ever tell you what's going to happen to you when you die, if you die without Christ? Has anyone ever said that to you?
Yeah.
Where does someone go if they die without Christ?
Well, I mean, they say hell, if that exists.
So do you believe that?
Well, I mean, as I said, I'm not quite sure yet.
Okay, well, let's talk about a few things that may help you. And these sort of things help me. Can you see any buildings from where you're standing?
Yeah.
Okay. When you look at the building that's in front of you, how do you know there was a builder?
Because it had to have been built somehow.
Yeah, because buildings don't happen by themselves. So the building is proof there's a builder. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a painting, how do you know there was a painter?
Because it had to be painted.
Yeah, paintings don't happen by themselves. The painting is actually proof there's a painter. Now look around you. Can you see any trees?
Yep.
Clouds, birds, sky, sun, moon, stars. The creation is proof there's a creator. That's how you can know. Because creation doesn't happen by itself, okay?
Well, how do you know it's not evolution?
Well, that's a non-issue. I mean, it's still there. The creation proves that something started everything in the beginning. Even if you believe in evolution, that doesn't really matter at this point in time. You just got to know there is a first cause, because only a fool would say a building happened without a builder, a painting happened without a painter, and creation happened without a creator. So we know there's a God, and so evolution, et cetera, is a non-issue at this point in time. Now, you said about a Christian being a good person. Let's see if you qualify to be a Christian. Have you ever lied?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who steals?
Thief.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
Okay, that's using his name as a cuss word to express disgust. It's a very, very serious thing to do in God's sight. Now listen to this. Jesus said, "Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." David, have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Well, of course, yes.
Okay, so listen to this. This is not, I'm not judging you. This is your own admission. You've admitted to being a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart. We've only looked at four of the Ten Commandments. There's another six where their canons pointed at you.
Yeah.
So here's a big question for you to ponder. If God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I'd probably be pretty guilty.
Drop the word probably. Yeah, you'd be very guilty.
Yeah.
So would you go to heaven or hell?
Based off just that?
Yeah, just that.
Well, hell, I guess.
You don't even have to guess. You could know. You know, because you've violated God's commandments, and God is perfect, he's holy, he's just, he's righteous, and the Bible says he'll by no means clear the guilty. He's a good judge. And a good judge would never let a criminal go free. I mean, can you imagine some judge saying, "Look, I'm a good judge, so we'll just let that raping murderer go. Where you go?" No, no, if he cares about right and wrong, he must see that justice is done.
Yeah.
And the Bible says God is going to see that justice is done, and on the day of judgment, everyone who's committed murder will be punished, and rapists. But he's so good, he's going to punish thieves and liars and blasphemers and fornicators. A fornicator is someone who's had sex out of marriage. So that leaves you in big trouble. So here's another question for you to ponder. Does it concern you that if you died right now, if you had an aneurysm or your heart gave out or someone fired a shot from a distance and it just went through you, does it concern you that you go to hell for eternity?
Yeah. I mean, I do think about that occasionally.
Yeah. And has it given you more fodder to think about it now that we've been through the commandments?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I've been struggling with this for about 3 years now, trying to decide where my faith lies, but...
What's the struggle? God sets before you the way of life and the way of death, heaven and hell, and he says, choose. And God will help you choose. He'll give you the ability, he'll give you the understanding, he'll grant you repentance. Now, David, do you know what God did for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Have you any idea?
Yeah, he sent his only son to die.
Okay, could you explain what you think that means?
That God is a benevolent God and does not want to see us all go to hell.
So what happened on the cross? If you could put it in your own words, what would you say happened? I don't mean physically what happened, but what was God doing in Christ?
I'm not sure.
Jesus was taking the punishment
for
the sins that you have committed. Your lying, your stealing, your blasphemy, your adultery of your heart, fornication, your rebellion against God, your failure to give God thanks from your heart for that which he's lavished upon you, your ingratitude, your ungratefulness.
Mm-hmm.
So he was taking the punishment for that multitude of sins that you have. He was paying your fine in his life's blood, and then he rose from the dead. Do you know John 3:16? Do you remember how it goes?
Not exactly.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So what God offers you, David, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the gift of everlasting life. And to receive that gift, you must repent of your sins. Turn from them. Say, God, I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to fornicate. I'm not going to blaspheme. I'm going to even turn from lust, that darling sin of mine. I'm going to ask you to help me have pure eyes. That's repentance. And the second thing you have to do is put your faith in Jesus. If you want to be saved when you jump out of a plane, you've got to put on the parachute. And the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you repent and trust in him, that's when you'll pass from death to life. That's when you'll be born again, and God will give you a new heart. He'll grant you forgiveness of sins. He will justify you or make it as though you'd never sinned. He'll impute or give you righteousness. So you're not just a forgiven sinner, but God will make you clean in his sight as though you'd never sinned in the first place. So when you stand before him on the day of judgment, you've got a clean slate so that God can allow you to live. He doesn't have to give you the death sentence. You don't have to go to hell. So if you were to die right now, where would you go?
I would go to hell.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
No, right now, nothing.
Well, you began talking with me and you says, I want to be a Christian. Were you insincere when you said that?
No, I was sincere, but I can't totally believe in it at the moment. I mean,
it's not really can't, David. Let me be frank with you. It's won't. It's a, the Bible calls it a willful ignorance. It says this: the wicked, through the pride of his face, will not seek after God. It doesn't say he can't seek after God. It says he will not. He's a rebel. So you've got a rebel within you, your sinful nature, that says, God, I don't want you. I want to serve myself, which is the essence of sin. So you've got to let the fear of God fill your heart. I mean, it sounds like you've got no fear of God because he commands you to repent today, not tomorrow, because you may not have tomorrow. Today. I mean, you could be going to die tonight. Why would I talk to you like this? It's because I care about you and where you spend eternity. The Bible says God's wrath abides on you, David, and you're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works, and he commands you to repent, and if you says, I'll think about it, you're saying, I refuse.
Then I guess for the moment, I'm ignorant, and I don't know how long it's going to take me to figure out, but right now, I can't, you know, I won't at the moment.
Well, it's good of you to be honest, David, and I hope God lets you sleep through the night and that you have another day tomorrow. We'll be praying that'll happen, but don't try God's patience for too long, okay?
I'll try not to.
Hey, thank you.
At least it's honest. I can't. Won't. Everything else in the universe obeys God when he says come, but we human beings, no.
Back with more on Wretched Radio. When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe, and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
So, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know. What?
A fsh. Get it? A fsh. Because there are no eyes?
Oh.
Our newest evangelistic booklet is titled, Are You a Rotten Fish? While there aren't any amazing jokes like that in it, it does provide a thorough presentation on true and false conversions. Jesus preached on the subject of true and false conversions with the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish, and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct gospel response of repentance and faith versus incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your computer or your phone and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies. That's fish with an I. So who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Order your copies at wretched.org/fish today. wretched.org/fish.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And he said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 716 AD. Boniface, the apostle of Germany, sets out as a missionary to bring the gospel to pagan lands. As Islam decimated the church in North Africa and the Middle East, Christianity found shelter and thrived in Europe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish, where are you?
So I'm at the same place where I'm not shopping for anything. I'm at the mall.
Right.
And shopping, or actually I should say fishing for big fish. Here we go. And I found this young gentleman. His name's Mike, and he's a Catholic. And I asked him just a couple of probing questions, like, you know, how would you say you're doing with God, you know, between the scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least, 10 being the best. And he says, well, I think I'm moderate, you know, maybe a 5 or 6. And then I asked him a couple questions about death. I said, do you ever think about death? And if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And he said, no, I don't really like to talk about death. I don't think anybody likes to talk about it. So I try not to think about it.
Yeah,
so he's a Catholic.
He's walking around that mill.
Mm-hmm. Walking around the mall? That's Trish.
Mill.
No, she's walking around the mall and she can't buy anything.
Thank you. So he's rightly so. He's afraid to die. If he's trying to work his way there, he's afraid because he knows that he's blown it and he hasn't done enough. So that's actually a good thing. What's this young man's name, Trish?
His name is Mike. And, you know, and then in the other token, he did say he was kind of a devout Catholic. He has a whole tattoo of Jesus on his on his arm, and showed me that, and he's wearing a cross and the whole thing. He's a Vietnamese young man, was born in Vietnam, but has lived here in America most of his life. He's 20 years old. I'm gonna walk on over to him. I found him walking in the mall and asked him and his friends if they'd follow me outside. So here we are outside in the hot sun. outside the food court, and I'm smelling the food and getting really hungry.
But you're not buying anything at the mall.
Maybe food. I'll take it back. I might buy some.
Going around and around.
All right, here we go. Mike, you're live on the air. You'll be talking, I think, to my friend Ray, possibly Todd as well. Here you go.
Hello?
Mike, thanks for coming on the radio. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Let me share something with you, if I may.
Okay.
It's my own Christian testimony. I'm a Christian. I've been born again. Do you know, have you heard of what that is, being born again?
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that.
Yeah, well, let me tell you just my testimony for a moment. Before I was a Christian, one thing that really bothered me was the fact that everybody was going to die, that I was part of the ultimate statistic, 10 out of 10 people die.
Uh-huh.
And it made life make no sense. I remember looking at my wife, I was newly married, and she had gone to sleep one night, and I thought, in an instant, she could be swallowed by death, or I could die, and I wouldn't have anything to live for. Despite all my material possessions, to have everything I love ripped from my hands by death made no sense to me. And I couldn't see any answer in science, couldn't see any answer in the medical profession. And I thought, this is just stupid. Here we are, this is back in the 60s, 1960s, last century, that man is trying to put a man on the moon, and he doesn't know why he's here on Earth, and he's waiting around to die. And it made no sense to me. Do you have thoughts like that?
Sometimes, but I try not to let my mind wander that far off, you know.
So you're really scared of dying?
Not scared. I mean, I've had a near-death experience before, so, you know, I mean, I look at life as, you know, something that you can't take for granted, and, you know, you take things one step at a time and stuff.
Hey, Mike, I live in Los Angeles. Every time I go on the freeway, I have a near-death experience.
Yeah, I mean, I got into a car accident recently, you know, and I woke up in the hospital, and don't remember what happened, but, you know, they said I was lucky to be alive because, you know, my car looked so bad, and it looked so bad that they're surprised I just came out with, like, you know, just a little laceration to the liver, you know. So
did you thank God that you were still alive?
Yeah, I mean, I thank God. I know without a doubt that if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today, you know.
Right, yeah, well, God's hand's obviously on you for some
reason.
Yeah,
and yeah, I mean, of course, I wear a cross around my neck all the time, and you know, sometimes it doesn't hit me the fact that, you know, having God so close to you can actually be a good thing.
Yeah. So what does that cross mean to you?
It means a lot, you know. It helps me. You know, it makes me feel safe sometimes. It makes me feel like I can go, you know, even when I just hold it. Like, I'm holding it right now, and I can just touch it and have a little bit of comfort, you know?
That's what you've got.
To know that.
So is it kind of like a sort of a good luck thing?
Not a good luck thing. I don't see it as, like, a lucky charm or nothing like that. It's more of, like, a symbol.
So what's it a symbol of? What does it mean to you? Try to describe to me what the cross is about.
You know, it helps me realize that, you know, Jesus is always with you regardless. You don't have to have a cross.
Yeah, but what does the cross? What does the cross mean? What is the reason for the cross?
I guess to let you realize that, you know, what Jesus really means to everybody. Because I mean, he did die on the cross. You know, a figure that a human being is hanging on the cross is kind of, I guess, wicked in a way. But I mean, it shows you that how much pain and suffering he went through to sacrifice his body and his life for us.
So why did he sacrifice his life for us? Why did that need to happen?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure. You know, those are the kind of questions that I can't give you a definite answer to. But, I mean, I can share my opinion with you. That's all I can do. Like, I think it's more of the fact that he wanted to, you know, give up his life to save mankind, basically.
Well, it sounds like you're a little bit cloudy about the whole issue. So let's just back up a little bit and let's see if we can get it clarified for you, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to back up from Jesus to Moses. Do you know who Moses was?
Yeah.
What did Moses do?
Lead the people out of Egypt.
Okay, now what did God give to Moses?
The Ten Commandments.
Now, what's the purpose of the Ten Commandments?
So that you have a belief system to live by.
Okay, so it's a moral standard to live by?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the Bible actually says it's even more than a moral standard to live by. It's a display of God's righteousness. It's God's standard that we can see if we're coming up to what he demands of us. So what we'll do is go through four of the Ten Commandments and see how you're going to do on the Day of Judgment, and then we'll come back to the cross and see if the cross makes sense to you. Okay?
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do. We'll go to the ninth commandment first. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals?
Thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay, that's blasphemy. Instead of using a four-letter filth word to express disgust, you've taken the name of the God who gave you life and brought his name down to the level of a filthy expletive to express disgust. That's called blasphemy, and it's very serious in God's sight. In fact, the Old Testament demands the death sentence for blasphemy. So you've really sinned against God with that one. And listen to this. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes.
Okay, so there's four of the Ten Commandments, and by your own admission, Mike, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. So here's a question for you to ponder. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Hell.
Now, there's no purgatory. I don't know if you realize that. So there's no hope. If you die in your sins, the Bible says this, all liars love their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no fornicator, that's someone who's had sex out of marriage, no blasphemer, will inherit the kingdom of God. So does it concern you that if you died today, you'd end up in hell forever?
I guess it would concern me, but I try not to let myself think about those kind of things. So, I mean,
Mike,
I can't do anything after
Mike,
I die. So
I'm trying to make you think about it because you can do something about it. You can do something incredible about it. See, if you died today, you have God's promise, you'd end up in hell. And most of us think God is our friend, but the Bible actually says he's our enemy. We're enemies of God in our mind through wicked works. Whoever's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. His wrath abides on you. And every time you sin, Mike, the Bible says you're storing up God's wrath that's going to be revealed on the Day of Judgment when he gives tribulation and anguish upon every soul that continues in evil. So you're in big trouble. So that brings us from Moses to Jesus. You're in big trouble. You've sinned against God. You've violated his law. The judge of the universe is angry at you. In comes Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. God became a person, and the reason God became a person was so that he could step into the courtroom and pay your fine for you. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. We're told Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, the perfect for the sinless. And when he was on the cross, he took the punishment for your sins, for my sins, for the sin of the whole world. Remember the Bible verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mike, you are captive to the fear of death. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews. It says that you and I are subject to the fear of death. We're held in bondage all our lifetime. But when Jesus rose from the dead after he died for our sins, he destroyed the power of the grave. He conquered death. And now God can grant you the gift of forgiveness. He can grant you the gift of everlasting life upon your repentance and faith in Jesus. So just to summarize, you broke God's law, Jesus paid your fine, and now God can dismiss your case the moment you turn to him in repentance and put your faith in Jesus. Does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense, but I understand what it's saying.
Yeah, you mean it doesn't make sense that God would love us enough to send his son to die for us?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense that he would pay my fine for me and have my case dismissed.
That's right. He did because God is love and he's the lover of your soul. He loves you with an eternal love and he doesn't want you to perish. So if you died right now, Mike, where would you go?
What was that?
If you died right now, where would you go?
I'd say hell.
What are you going to do about it? When are you going to repent and trust the Savior?
I mean, I go to church, like, you know, every week.
No,
like,
when are you going to repent and trust the Savior? You don't have to go to church to do that. You don't need a priest. You can just go straight to God and say, God, forgive me, I've sinned against you. He'll hear your penitent prayer. If you're genuinely sorry and turn from your sins, he'll hear that. And the moment you put your faith in Jesus, you'll pass from death to life, because you could get in another car accident between now and when you go to church. So today, get right with God. Make sense?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, thanks for listening to me. Get hold of a Bible and read what you read the Gospel of John and obey what you read, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for talking to me.
All right, thank you.
This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. A Hindu extremist mob in northeastern India tried to kill a pastor and his family in an attack on their home last Sunday night. Hindu extremists brandishing swords, bricks, and rods broke through windows and the roof of the home of Palathingal Joseph Johnson. He said 10 to 15 extremists shouted slogans of "Hail Lord Ram," trespassed into my house, used vulgar language, and declared that they would kill me and my children and will outrage my wife's modesty. The pastor, his wife, and their four children, ranging in age from 7 to 13, barricaded themselves in one room of their two-room house to keep themselves safe during the attack. Though they couldn't reach police, the pastor did reach a fellow Christian who eventually got to the house with 50 other villagers. Seeing a mob bigger than theirs, the pastor said the Hindu activists fled. The pastor's house and cars were damaged, but his family was unharmed. Police did eventually file a first information report, the case to be investigated by an assistant sub-inspector. A policeman at the station who declined to give his name told Morningstar News that the FIR had been registered, but no arrests had been made. India ranks 10th and is sadly moving up quickly on Open Doors 2019 World Watch List. Praying for our brothers and sisters. How about that? A federal appeals court has given pro-life sidewalk counselors outside a Pittsburgh abortion facility the green light to enter the so-called bubble zone. Pro-life volunteers who want to speak with women entering the abortion facility can now stand closer to the door and don't have to raise their voices to be heard, said Nikki Brunei, Pittsburgh director of 40 Days for Life. She and other volunteers are there to tell women about nearby clinics that provide free ultrasounds, pregnancy tests, STD testing, and other help. And they also give women information about fetal development. The third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals decision did uphold a 15-foot buffer between abortion facilities and pro-life protesters that's imposed by a Pittsburgh ordinance, but the judges also said the zone didn't apply to sidewalk counselors, who previously had to stay outside a yellow spray-painted semicircle in front of the Liberty Avenue location. Judge Cheryl Ann Krause says the law didn't prohibit peaceful one-on-one conversations on any topic, or conducted for any purpose at a normal conversational volume or distance. Days later, the court would uphold a similar Harrisburg, Pennsylvania ordinance that required a 20-foot buffer. Pittsburgh and Harrisburg's buffer zones continue to exclude those who, quote, knowingly congregate, patrol, picket, or demonstrate, but not those who are looking to have one-on-one talks. By the way, Missouri might become the only state without a legal abortion facility. The only clinic left standing may close soon, depending on the outcome of Monday's hearing with a state arbiter. But we can hope and pray. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God
and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's hit the streets, shall we? Oh, Joey.
All right, I'm outside of a McDonald's right near my house, and we got two kids, and they're sitting here with an MP3 digital recorder, and I asked them what they're doing, and they're making their own podcast, and they're co-hosts of it.
They got their own show?
Yeah, basically.
All right, so we're dealing with some young radio professionals here.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
All right. Have you found anything out about what their understanding is, their religion, anything?
There's Matt and Graham. Matt is a Christian. He hasn't been to church for a while, he says. And Graham is a Buddhist, but he's a little more reluctant to go on the air.
Mm-hmm. Ray, do you have a preference?
Yeah, let's talk to Matt.
The church goer?
Yeah.
Okay, now, Ray, just for people who are listening, who are tuning in right now to this year program, are you going to try to grill him on whether or not he's saved? He's only 14.
Yes, I will. Because okay. A lot of people die at 14.
Aston, he's too... That'd be mean, and he's too young.
Too young to die? I agree with you.
No, he's... You'd be mean, and he's too young to deal with things like this. Just chill out.
No, I'm going to chill on. I'm chilling up.
All righty, then.
Because I care about Matt.
You kids with the language. All right, Joey, let's pass the telephone to Matt.
Kid.
Hello?
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
I'm good.
So, Matt, you've had some sort of Christian background?
Yes.
Tell me about it. Are you born again?
No, I don't think I've been a rebirth. I think I'm a new soul.
So, what do you think Christians are talking about when they say you got to be born again? Any idea?
Yeah, like, you know, you die and then you come back to life as a different person. But
oh, no, that's reincarnation.
Oh.
We're talking about Christianity in John chapter 3 where Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not into heaven. So, it's a very important thing to be born again. If you want to get saved, you want to... everlasting life, then Jesus said you must be born again. Did you understand that? Have you ever heard that before?
I haven't heard it, but I think I understand it, like kind of like a sort of redemption.
Yeah. Yeah, you're redeemed. Your sins are forgiven, you're washed clean, and God grants you the gift of everlasting life. Has that ever happened to you?
No, but I think it seems possible if this life doesn't work out for me, I guess.
Yeah, well, this life doesn't work out for everybody. Everyone's going to die, so we need to have something sorted out for eternity. When did you last read the Bible, Matt?
It's been a while, maybe a couple months.
Couple of months. So if you died today, and a lot of people die at 14, if you study statistics, it's a very dangerous age, the teenage years. We drive carelessly, we drink and take drugs, we experiment with life, run across the street without thinking, skydiving, right. All these dumb things. And a lot of people die in their teenage years. So where would you go if you died today? Where would you spend eternity? Any idea?
I don't know. Maybe I'd have to spend maybe half a year in purgatory, but that's probably it.
So you have had a Catholic background?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So... there are moral absolutes. Let's say that the Ten Commandments are the moral absolutes we're talking about. Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, I've kept pretty much all of them.
You've kept all of them?
Yeah.
Boy, that's real good. So I'm going to put you on the stand, and I'm going to interrogate you just for a couple of minutes. Or cross-examine you is probably a better word to use. Have you ever told a lie?
A couple times, yeah, but it was mostly as a child.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
Someone who doesn't really know better.
Yeah. So what do you call them?
What
would you call me if I told lies?
Probably a sinner, yeah.
No, more specifically, it starts with L and it rhymes with fire.
Liar?
Yeah. Have you ever stolen something? In your whole life, even if it's small?
Well, I've stolen a couple things, but they aren't really that big, you know.
So, what do you call someone who steals things?
A stealer.
A thief.
Oh.
Matt, have you ever used God's name in vain?
A couple times, yeah.
Okay, that's called blasphemy, and it's using Almighty God's name as a cuss word. He gave you life. He gave you taste buds to enjoy good food, eyes to see with, ears to hear with, to listen to good music. He gave you the ability to create. He made you in His image. He gave you life itself. And you have used his name to express filth, which is called blasphemy, and it's very serious in his sight.
Well,
now, Jesus said...
Maybe it's not really filth, more like shock, because there's a couple things that, you know, some of my friends do that just, it just freaks me out, you know.
And you use an expletive to express how you feel at that time, and you use God's name as a substitute for it. Now, Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, I suppose so.
Yeah. Well, listen to this, Matt. You haven't kept the Ten Commandments. You've violated four of them. We've only looked at four. There's another six. But by your own admission, this isn't judging you, by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And you have to face God on Judgment Day. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Well, supposing that I kept the rest of them, I'd probably be, you know, a little guilty.
Well, you think of it as a civil court. You're standing in front of a judge, and he's got 1,000 laws on his books, and you've broken 3 of them. You've raped a woman, you've stolen from her, and you murdered her. And there's 997 that you've kept of those laws that are on the books. That's not even going to come into account. The judge is only going to look at what you've violated. And God is exactly the same. You've violated his commandments. It doesn't matter what you haven't broken, it's what you've broken that God's going to hold you accountable. And so on the day of judgment, you're going to be guilty. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Does it concern you if you died today, Matt? The Bible says you'd go to hell forever?
I'm a little concerned, but I've had my baptism, you know, when I was, I think it was 10.
Yeah, but that won't help you. The Bible doesn't talk about being sprinkled as a child. It talks about believer's baptism. It says repent and be baptized. So when you're converted, when you're born again, then you get baptized. So that's not going to help you.
Okay.
And you must be more than a little concerned. We're talking about your life. Don't you love your life?
Yeah. But
isn't
I guess it could be better.
Isn't it the most precious thing to you? If some guy came up to you with a gun and said, give me your money, I'm going to blow you away anyway, and he just put a gun to your head and he cops the gun, you'd just scream out, please don't kill me, because your will to live is so strong. So you don't want to lose your life, and you don't want to be damned forever, and God withdraws everything that you love from you. Obviously you want to live. Now, do you know what God did for you and I so that we wouldn't have to go to hell forever?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, try and put it in your own words. It's very important you have a clear understanding of it.
He forgives our sins.
Well, the Bible says God became a human being. God was manifest in the flesh. God became a person in Jesus of Nazareth, and then Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. When he was on the cross, he was being punished for the sins that you had committed. It's like this, you're in a courtroom, and the judge says you're guilty, he levels a $50,000 fine to you, you don't have any money, no words of defense, then he takes off his robes, he comes down, and he says, because I care about you, I'm going to pay the fine for myself. And in good hard-earned money, he writes out a check for the right amount. And now you're free to leave the courtroom. Well, that's what God did in the person of Jesus Christ. He forsook his glory, came to this earth, and suffered and died on the cross and paid your fine. And the last words on the cross, he said, well, it is finished. In other words, the debt has been paid. So God made a way for your sins to be forgiven, for your case to be dismissed, for your death sentence to be commuted. And now, because of Jesus' death and his resurrection, God can forgive you and grant you everlasting life. But you must do two things. You must repent. That is, you turn from your sins. Don't just say, God, I'm sorry, but you actually stop sinning. And the second thing you do is trust in Jesus Christ. Now, God doesn't forgive you just because you repent. He forgives you because your faith is in Jesus Christ. But to receive Christ, you must turn from all sin. You must stop playing the hypocrite. You must repent and trust in him alone for your salvation. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Matt, there's nothing more important than where you'll spend eternity. Absolutely nothing. God knows the moment you're going to die. You don't, I don't. So please think seriously about that. This is my friend Todd.
Hey, Matt, how do you do?
Hello.
Yeah, I've been eavesdropping. Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Three times while this guy with the strange accent was talking, you went, why did you do that?
Expressing understanding.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you thought he was, like, either very strange or you were trying to process some stuff. Okay. So you were getting some stuff that maybe you hadn't understood before.
I didn't catch that. People around me are kind of talking.
Yeah, you were.
Sorry.
Basically, you were understanding some stuff that maybe you hadn't understood before.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, you're 14 years old, correct?
Yeah.
All right. You're a young man, and I know that these are big concepts and these are big thoughts, but you're smart enough to get this, and it's probably time to start dealing with these things, because the reality is someday you're going to die, and you should get your spiritual house in order, and the world's going to tell you that you should do all kinds of business to make money and get things accomplished. The business that's really the most important is the business of your soul.
Right.
Okay, so would you please think about what this fellow said to you today and give it some serious thought. Think about your sins, every single thought, every deed, every action, every nasty thought that you've ever had. Think about Jesus Christ dying for you, taking the punishment you deserve, and then call out to God. Tell him you're sorry. Turn from your sins. Put your trust in the Savior. And when you die to yourself, God will make you born again. Make sense?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Hey, dude, for whatever this is worth, you're a nice young man. Appreciate the chat. There's going to be a lot of people listening who are going to be praying for you, okay?
All right.
All right, dude. See ya.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. Glad you would spend part of it listening to us here at Wretched Radio. Thanks to our gospel partners helping us do things like our prison initiative. We're looking to help lower recidivism rates. Those ugly numbers that tell us within 3 years of release, about two-thirds of released prisoners are back in jail. Within 5 years of release, three-quarters are back in the Hooskow. Hence the prison initiative. We think the gospel would help. So we'd like to reach out to prison ministries and give them our evangelistic resources, like our Don't Stub Your Toe booklets, for free, so they can pass them on to prisoners. So if you are a prison ministry, talk to Al, would you? Al@wretched.org for more information on how we can get you the booklets. We could also use your support, because the more you give, the more we can give away. So would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? Details at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Tempted, but I'm not gonna do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee, but I'm not gonna do that, but we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe, 200 people attending a church with one Bible. $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International, wretched.org/Bible.
60 to 80% of our youth are leaving the nest, flying off to university, and abandoning their faith. Wretched wants to reach these kids with the gospel by distributing 1 million copies of our evangelistic resource, What Time is Purple, on university campuses around the country. If you are a ministry or a church group, we'd love to send you a whole bunch of copies. Just contact Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, for more information. If you want to give out What Time is Purple on your own, visit wretched.org/purple for free copies. You know, it's only with your support of Wretched that we can do things like this. If you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. Please know we are very grateful. And if you're not, would you consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis? Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. And to give out copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple, go to wretched.org/purple, and let's reach millennials together.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hitting the streets in Texas. Hey, Trish.
Hi.
How are you, kiddo?
Okay, good, good. So I've got like 1 minute before airtime,
after I got through talking to the last guy, he was really, really open to the gospel. He was so open. So I just stayed there for a while and just, you know, preached the gospel and just finished up some things. So I get in my car, hop in my car, and I end up getting lost in this little community because, you know, I don't know my way around Texas very well yet. So I see this guy out in this field with his dog, his Labrador, and I love dogs, and I just thought, I'm going to pull over. So I look over at Mary, my cousin. I'm like, let's just pull over. I pull the car over, and I go, hey, excuse me. And he runs, you know, the guy runs across the field, and the dog's running with him, cute Labrador. And, you know, I asked him if he'd be willing to be on the radio and if he's any certain religion. He says he's Buddhist, but not really practicing, kind of open to all things. And so, yeah. And his name is Tra. If you can say draw, you can say Tra. Isn't that right? Yeah. So, Todd, are you ready? You're going to talk to Tra?
All right, let's give it a go, shall we?
Hello?
Tra, how do you do, sir?
I'm pretty well, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, I understand you're a Buddhist. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, have you heard about this thing that the Chinese government wants to do to Buddhist monks in Tibet?
No, not really.
No reincarnating without government permission.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. I think the idea is they want a state sanction on Buddhists to control who gets reincarnated to whom and when in an effort to make sure that the Dalai Lama cannot come back and somebody can be the next Dalai Lama.
Oh, the Dalai Lama. Yeah, I did hear something about that, but then I don't keep track of the news too much. So, you know, I'm really open to a lot of things, but, you know, some other beliefs that seems ridiculous to me, but that's how they want it. But, you know.
Dude, how does reincarnation work? Who's in charge of the program?
Well, I really don't know. That's for whoever to decide, either God or a higher power.
But do you believe in God?
I'm, like I said, I'm open to a lot of things. I'm more of a philosopher, you know, about more the, you know, the outside of the world and stuff like that, other than just believing in either Christianity or, you know, any other religion
right
out there.
Well, then my philosopher friend, let me ask you, where do you think your conscience came from?
It came from the more. If you ever read Plato's The Republic, which is outside of anything that's materialistic, outside from that.
So do you think that it just developed because of society?
Well, it can be affected through society. It could be, you know, affected through how you're raised as well. But
right.
It all depends. There's different factors that, you know.
But, Tral, one of the interesting things about the conscience is that it is so universally consistent. No matter mm-hmm. where you go, the conscience screams in every civilization, murder, bad, lying, wrong, stealing, uh-uh. That seems to be amazingly consistent, and I think...
Well, yeah, with all religions, it's always like
no,
that.
No, not with all religions, with all peoples, even with a cannibalistic tribe, they all agree that murder is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't matter what the religion is, it's something that seems
tribe
universal.
Or how they killing people and eating them.
Just because they do it, it doesn't mean they like it. Mm-hmm. They still know that it's wrong. They do it because that's just the way it's done, and either I eat you or you eat me, and I don't care to be dinner. So I'm gonna try to put a spear through you, but that doesn't mean that they like it. And they live in fear, and when interviewed, they say, it is wrong. And I think the conscience is a strong argument that there is indeed a God, a universal lawgiver, because of the consistency of the conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I wanna ask you about your conscience right now, Tra.
Yeah.
Do you think your conscience is clean?
I would say no, not. I would say at least 99.9% of people have done something wrong, you know, within their lifetime or experienced something. So I wouldn't say mine's clean or not.
Yeah, I'd even push the statistic up to 100%. Honestly, I just think everybody does wrong and bad things. So as a philosopher, Draw, how is that? How is that conscience ever going to get cleansed?
I really don't know.
All right, here's my next question for you.
Yeah, you know, you just live life day by day and just see what path you have to take and just take it.
Yeah.
If you have a chance, just go ahead and do it.
Well, if there's a God who's a moral lawgiver, if my premise is correct, that thing that gnaws at you, that God put that into you so that you could know the difference between right and wrong, isn't it fair to say that that moral lawgiver is going to have us give an account? Otherwise, what would be the purpose of giving a conscience in the first place?
Well, in theory, yes.
Yeah, in theory. We're philosophizing right now.
Yeah.
All right.
In theory, yeah.
But I think it's a pretty strong theory because I'm not making up this conscience idea. Everybody's got one. It's awfully consistent. And yours should, if you are honest and a thoughtful individual, and it sounds like you are, it should be troubling you a little bit. Now, if the God who gave the conscience is going to have you give an account someday, and it would also then seem right that he would punish for wrongdoing because we have these unwritten rules in our conscience. Fair enough?
Fair enough, yes.
All right.
But then how about those people that just go on killing sprees or, you know,
they're going to be in big trouble.
Serial killers and all, and would you say that they have a conscience or is just missing somewhere?
Well, I think that's a very thoughtful question. I think that they do, but I do believe, though, that the conscience can get hardened.
Mm-hmm.
I think that over time, by ignoring it, by not paying attention to it, we can let it go. And I also think, Traw, that the worse we become, the harder it is to recognize how bad we are. In fact, I think Gandhi said something very similar to that. Gandhi, who said something, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but he said that the holier I become, the more I see my own depravity. You see, the better he got, he got a higher view so that he could see himself in truth and he could recognize his badness better. And to
but then usually if you, you know, do more bad, you get to see the truth in everything. So wouldn't that just be contradictory?
Well, if you take a walk down death row, those people who are really bad and who are hardened criminals, they actually don't think that they're such bad guys and they think that injustice has happened. In fact, Al Capone, he said the very same thing. He killed people, bootleggered, horrible guy. And he lamented, hey, all I try to do is bring people pleasures, and all I receive is persecution. He couldn't see his own badness because he was so bad. Now, here's where I want to try to take you right now, Traw. And this will give you something to philosophize about today. Let's say the God who gave a conscience, and he gave it so that we'd give an account, you've broken it, and because he gave it to us for a reason, and because there is a standard, he must punish the lawbreakers. The question then becomes, Traw, how will you do on that day of judgment? And here's what I'd like to do with your permission. I think the standard by which we're going to be judged will be the Ten Commandments. Those are the rules. And and if that's true, the question then becomes, how would you do, Traw? For instance, has God always been your primary affection in your life?
No.
Okay. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No.
You've never done that? Use God's name kind of casually?
Like saying, oh, my God, or something like that?
There you go. That's the way. Yeah.
No. I might say, oh, my Buddha, or, you know, something
you do?
Like that. Either like that or just not say it at all.
Really, you say, oh, my Buddha?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I might say that, yes.
Really? See, I've made jokes about that, but I didn't think
it's different. Yeah, it's just, you know, like every other religion has either their idol that they worship or anything of the sort, you know.
Yeah. Have you always, when you were a child, did you always do what mom and dad told you to do?
No.
Okay. Because that's a commandment
that
says we should.
They taught me just believe in your own thing. And,
you
know, if you wanted to do whatever you like, go ahead and do it. You know, you learn from your mistakes. That's how life is. And, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah. But I'm talking about when they told you to clean your room and they said, Trout, clean your room, and you didn't do it right away and they got mad at you.
They would never ridicule me on something like that.
Well, regardless of their response, by being naughty, you broke one of the commandments because God says that we should honor our mother and father.
Well, yeah, that too. And then in the Buddhist religion, they believe that your mom and your father are God.
Yikes.
So basically, same thing, breaking one of the commandments?
Well, I not because they're God, but I think because God made them your representative, his representative to you on this earth to train you up. Let's try this one, Trow. You talked before about murder and said, what about the murderer? This is what the Bible says. If you have ever been unjustly angry, you're a murderer at heart. An example of that would be driving down the road, getting annoyed with somebody and flipping them off, being torqued with somebody, saying a bad thing about somebody, because it shows that in our heart, we actually have the desire to kill them. Even though we don't do it, there's a seed of that there, and God judges the intentions of the heart. Have you ever been unjustly angry with somebody?
I would say yes, I have.
Okay.
At inanimate objects.
right.
Majority of the time.
All right. You stand before God.
Well, that's what you believe in. If you believe in Christianity, you follow the Ten Commandments. And if you don't.
Yeah, well, actually, it doesn't make any difference. If it's true, you're going to be judged by it. So the question would be, would you be innocent or guilty?
Well, if you believe in God, then
makes no
you
difference.
Wouldn't be judged by that.
It doesn't make any difference. I can believe in Gumby and Pokey, but if I'm wrong, they don't exist. If God exists and he judges you, the question would be, would you be innocent or guilty, Trow?
Well, then how do you know if God exists or not? See, that's just opening a whole new can
of
worms.
We're just having a philosophical question. Conversation. So would you be innocent or guilty?
I guess I would be guilty.
All right.
If that's what the answer that you would like.
All right. Well, no, I think that's the answer that would be honest. Hey, Trow. Sir?
Yes.
We're out of time here. If you've got the inclination, that young woman who gave you the cell phone, I know would like to actually finish the conversation with you. We got to scoot, and she'll do that. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.